either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, we are not to forget what is happening with our brothers in Burma, the Rohingya Muslim community. It's not just for the Muslims, but every human being has a duty to speak out against every kind of terrorism. Terrorism that we see in the streets of this country, London, in France, Spain. Terrorism that we see that our Palestinian brothers are facing in Syria, in Iraq, and in many parts of the world. Terrorism is haram in Islam. Terrorism is haram in Islam. And it is our duty to speak out. Whether terrorism is in the form of Buddhist monks that are on a mission to annihilate this Muslim community completely, or whether it comes in the form of this lady, Aung San Suu, whatever her name is, the Nobel Peace Award that she has won. MashaAllah, we see individuals, even the non-Muslim community, want this award that has been given to her to be taken back. Because she is complicit to the atrocities that are taking place in her country. SubhanAllah. And an honorary Canadian passport is also given to her. So she is also a Canadian citizen. And so even in Canada, there is this movement that this citizenship should be revoked and taken from her. So we should apply a lot of pressure, my respected brothers and elders. It should not just be that like a chewing gum. Once the flavor is in the mouth, you enjoy it and you can feel it, and after a while you just want to discard it. We have to remember what is happening to our Muslim brothers in Burma. What is happening? Because on the day of Qiyamah, you and I sitting on the pulpit, all of you sitting here, will be questioned. The Quran is telling us, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. It is our duty to help. We should have been there. We should be there to support them. We should be there all the time. This is our duty. This is the meaning of brotherhood. This is the meaning of brotherhood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Wallahi, we should be doing dua every night that Allah forgive us. We are very, very weak. What are we?
Weak.
We talk. What do we do? We talk. And that's all we do. But we are very, very weak. As an ummah, we are very weak. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Khair, this is a different topic. It is our duty to speak out of the atrocities that we are witnessing. I personally have not seen such zulm upon any community. Allahu Akbar. I'm not sure if brothers agree with me. Such zulm. Subhanallah. Picking up people, digging graves, throwing them inside, and they are screaming. And then you might shoot somebody on the leg so they don't die, and then you put petrol on top of him, and then burn him, and then close the graves, and Allahu Akbar. An old Muslim lady speaking out that from 100 kilometer belt of Muslim villages, 100 kilometer belt of Muslim villages, all burnt out. Girls 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, picked up, taken, and where they are gone, wallahu alam, gone to be raped. And then to be killed. Allahu Akbar. I remember when we read the waqiyat, when this man came to Hajjaj bin Yusuf. And he says, Hajjaj, you know, in the province of Sindh, well, we call Hind and Sindh at that time. All that was India. That there was a Muslim lady and someone disrespected her. And she cried out your name that where is Hajjaj? Where is? So Hajjaj was way, very far away. So he said, she took my name, this Muslim lady. And Hajjaj bin Yusuf sent and dispatched his nephew, Muhammad bin Qasim, 17 years of age. How old was he?
17.
Today a 17 year old, don't know head to tails what is happening. Don't know what is happening. The fikr, the gham, that passion for that ummah is not there. This young man went to that province to answer the call of that one Muslim lady. One Muslim lady. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah al-Azim. And as history shows that Muhammad bin Qasim defeated Raja Dahir that was there at that time. And this was the first time that, alhamdulillah, the Muslims entered into that part of Sindh. And a lot of them actually became Muslims. And that is how Islam entered in that province, in that part. MashaAllah. And today, what is happening with the Ummah? And so, you will find that in the media, and also some of the journalists that are out there, they want to confuse people and they will speak all sorts of lies. What is a great lie is that when I also heard an interview from a monk, he was saying that we are victims of terrorism, that the Rohingya Muslims are attacking us. Can you imagine that? These skin and bones, what do you see of the Rohingya Muslims, bichare? Skin and bones. What have they got? Nothing. Look at their homes. Look at their villages. Look at that. The poorest nation in the whole world. Maybe even if you see in Bangladesh, poverty is at a very high level there. And then another lie is that these people are not from Burma. They have got nothing to do with us. They are illegal immigrants that have come to our country and they are Bengalis. That's what they say. What are they? And so we just need to do a bit of our research so that as Muslims we know that this very great Rohingya Muslim community, and from them you have great, great ulama, great, great qurra, and you also have great, great scholars and qaris. And in that part you will find that they are also great madaris and masajid, mashallah. So great scholars come out from this community, Rohingya community. First of all, for us to understand that very intentionally the name Burma has been changed to Myanmar. What is it? And this is what you will find, that whenever people want to erase and hide history, so what they do is they change names. That is why even in India, they don't like the name Ahmedabad. Ahmedabad, so they call it Ahmedabad, and they were in the process of changing all these Islamic terminologies, all these terms that have got Islam to it. They didn't like it, so they wanted to change it. Allahabad, you know, they don't like Allahabad, they don't like Ahmedabad, don't say Ahmedabad, Ahmedabad, everything changes. If you look at history, the Muslims that came from North Africa into Spain, they were mu'mineen and muslimeen, but history knows them as Moorish. History speaks about them as Moorish. They don't even call them Muslims. I was in Portugal, in Spain, I've seen actually many of these beautiful Islamic buildings that are still standing. But you see them, they're not even known as Muslims, Moorish. And systematically there was this process of even not accepting their names. So if your name was Muhammad, you cannot be called Muhammad. And they would call names like Mamed and all these names so that actually the real name is not pronounced. And so what happened is that Burma has been changed into Myanmar. Burma has been changed into Myanmar. And the heart of the Muslims in Burma was a region that was known as Arakan. What was it known as? Arakan. And the reason why it was known as Arakan is that when the Muslims first came, you see, that is the disease that we have today. Unfortunately, we don't follow our forefathers. Our forefathers, when they came, they were da'is. What were they? Da'is. Their mission was to give da'wah. But today our mission is not that. So when the Muslims actually entered into that region of Burma, the first thing the Muslims did is that they gave them da'wat of the five pillars. So this was known as Arkane Khamsa. What is it known as? The five pillars is known as Arkane Khamsa. The five pillars is known as Arakan. So because they were so busy explaining to people about Iman and Islam, actually that entire region became known as Arakan. What was it? Arakan. Do you understand? So Arakan actually means the pillars that they were teaching them, the five pillars. So it was known as Arakan. So this province has now been changed and has been given a new name as Rakhine. What is it? Rakhine. So Rakhine is actually Arakan. So a new name is actually given to them. So that, you see, when you look at Rakhine and if you look at history, you might not find the information that you are wanting to know. Khair, Islam entered in the Rohingya or the Arakan area as early as the first Islamic Hijri century. The first century of the Islamic calendar. And as early as 91 Hijri. In 91 Hijri, Muslims were already in that part of Burma where you have the highest concentration of the Muslim community, where Arakan was, so where the Rohingya Muslims were. 91 Hijri, during the Umayyad Khilafat. During the Umayyad Khilafat. 91 Hijri, and today we are 1438. What year are we in? So for more than 1300 years, Muslims have always been there. And so what they are saying is that the Rohingyas, they don't even have a passport. Even in this country, I think after 5 years, they give you passport. After indefinite stays, and even in this. And Donald Trump's wife, actually, she is not an American also. She got American citizenship after living there for many, many years. So if you have a look at most of the MPs, and if you look at the makeup also of everyone, including the Queen, we are all foreigners. What are we? We are all. But a community that has been living there since 91 Hijri, the Umayyad Khilafat, 91 Hijri, more than 1300 years, Muslims have always been in that part of the region. They are not entitled to that part of Burma and citizenship. Even if they want to get married, they have to take permission. Allahu Akbar. You know, we know about Palestine, but what about this, the poorest community in the world, the Rohingya Muslims, bichare. Allahu Akbar. And then, so for 1300 years, Muslims have been there. Slowly, when the Muslim communities were coming in that area, because Muslims were da'i and tujar. What were they? Da'is and tajir. This is what they were doing. So they would, the main aim was to give da'wah to the people, so they would embrace Islam, and they would also benefit that community. What would they do? Benefit that community with tijarat. This was what the Muslims would do. Then, from 1430, that is the Gregorian calendar, not the Islamic calendar, okay? 1430, when Muslims started gathering in that part, then from 1430, the first Islamic state was established in the region, in that province of Arakan. In 1430. For how many years? 354 years. For how many years? 354 years, Islamic Khilafat was established in that region of Arakan, where the Rohingya Muslims are living. Islamic tarikh history shows that 48 successive Muslim kings had ruled there. How many? 48 kings. For 354 years. And this went on from 1430 to 1784. A bit of our history. From 1430 to 1784. Islamic Khilafat was established. Remember, the Muslims had already touched in that area from 91 Hijri. But when more and more people were coming, then in 1430 it was decided that we will have our own king, our own Khilafat, because it was an entire Muslim community that was there. Subhanallah. And this went on until 1784. And how many kings did I say? 48 kings. 48 kings, I am Musliman. Imagine. And still they are stateless. And they are living in a place where it's no man's land. Subhanallah. And then after 1784, for the first time again, the Buddhist monks, they wanted to wipe out the Muslim community, and they fought with the Muslims in the Arakan province. And they defeated the Muslims. What did they do? The Buddhists, after 1784, what they did is that they defeated the Khilafat and the Muslims that were there. But despite that, the Muslims were still living there. And so from 1784 onwards, this zulm and oppression sporadically has always been affecting the community. All the time. It has been there. And then, of course, if you look at history, what happened after that? Then 1824, what happened? Who came? British. Hamari Sarkar wahan pahunch gayi. The British Empire came. And when the British Empire came, the British Raj and all that, everything was annexed to the British Empire. So, Pakistan wasn't there, but what is now also, we know Pakistan, Bangladesh, Burma, and India, that entire region was under British rule. Until 1948. Until 1948. And after 1948, even when independence was given, Muslims were still living in that part of Arakan. In that part of Arakan. And they were living there. And even today now, there are as many as more than 1.5 million Muslims still there in that area. Very small area, but they are still there. And Muslims are living there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. So we see, this is the tariq, this is the history of the Muslims, that the Rohingya Muslims have been there since 91 Hijri. Since 91 Hijri. And the Buddhist community has never allowed this community to settle. That is why it is said 2 million Rohingya Muslims are refugees everywhere in the world. How many? 2 million. Some are in Saudi Arabia. They haven't got a Saudi passport, though, remember that. Yeah. They'll never give you a Saudi passport. So you are in, some are in Saudi, some are in Malaysia, some are in Thailand, some are in India also, and some are also in Bangladesh. But you see, even now in India, what is happening is that the Rohingya Muslims that are in India, now there are talks that they don't belong in India and that these refugees need to go back to Myanmar. And so you will find this community that they are just not settled anyway. And these are our brothers. These are, in fact, there is a possibility that Islam reached them before us. There is also this possibility that Islam reached them before us. Allahu alam. And so, this year things have intensified. The ethnic cleansing and this genocide that is taking place. It is a genocide. And 24th August 2017, things have been very intense for the Muslim community. And they are now on a mission to actually wipe out all the Muslims that are there. That is why a quarter of the Muslims right now are in no man's land, close to the Bangladeshi border and also outside Burma, Myanmar, and where there is a river, and that is where they are in no man's land. Or koi unka pursane hal nahi hai. There is no one there to actually speak to them and talk to them and to comfort them. No clothes, no nothing. Ladies, their husbands have been slaughtered, killed in front of them. Daughters have been raped. And in this condition, they have no food, they have no water, they have no medication, they have nobody. And what is the Muslim world doing? The leaders? Absolutely nothing. What are they doing? Absolutely nothing. That is why in the Quran it says, when one community said that Mata Nasrullah, when will the madad of Allah come? At the end of the day, we turn back only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb, that the madad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his assistance is very, very close. Very, very close. And you see also there is no coverage in the media. There is no coverage whatsoever that is given. And so, my respected brothers and elders, it is our duty to give them every kind of support. Now, why is this happening? Why is it that the Muslims are very, very quiet and they are not speaking out? What is the reason? The reason is explained to us by Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this very beautiful hadith, which is narrated by Hazrat Thawban radiyallahu ta'ala an. And this hadith is in Abu Dawood Sharif. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يوشك الأمم أن تداعى عليكم كما تداعى الأكلة إلى كسعتها. A time will come when people will call one another to attack you as people invite one another towards a platter of food. You know, when you have a lot of people and you invite them by tubi khale, they will be inviting one another that by you also take your share in killing them. You also take your share in killing them. So it's not just ethnic cleansing genocide that is taking place. There is also a geopolitical agenda that is taking place there because of gas reserves that are there and oil reserves that are there in that region where the Muslims are living. So you have external parties and countries that want to take a stake and take a part. That is why Mr. Modi came to Burma and he spoke, and millions of pounds are to be given to Burma for their infrastructure and also to take control of the reserves that is there of oil and gas. And that is Allah ki shan, where the Arakan area is, where the Rohingya Muslims are living. And so khair, whatever the reason may be, zulm is upon our Muslim brothers. Zulm is upon our Muslim brothers. And so what is happening? When Sahaba-e-Kiram Ajma'in heard this, they were shocked. They said, Nabi of Allah, you know, people will be killing this ummah. So they thought maybe because they will be only a few in number. وَمِنْ كِلَّةٍ Allah's Nabi, we will be very few in at that time. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, no, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ كَثِيرٌ You know, you will be so many in numbers. So many in numbers. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ But the condition of my ummah at that time will be, they will be like the froth and scum that is carried down by the torrent of water and flood, the dirt that the floods carry. That is the filth that you see, froth, bubbles and scum, dirty things that you see with the floods. That is the condition of my ummah. It's not pure water. Their hearts will become very, very filthy. And when their hearts become very filthy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take out from the hearts of their enemies their fear. So their enemies will no longer fear the Muslim people. And then in their hearts, they will suffer from a disease that is called wahan. What is it called? Wahan. And what is this wahan? Hubbud dunya wa karahiyatil maut. Intense love of this dunya and the dislike of death. This is the bimari that most of the people, and especially right at the top, those at that leadership, they are suffering from this. We see Qatar had given 30 million, how much? To the floods and hurricane that took place in America. How much have they given to the Rohingya Muslims? Have anybody heard anything? Have you heard anything? 30 million. I'm not saying don't give. That's nothing to do with me. If you feel you want to give to the richest country in the world, you can. That's up to you. You know, they are the people who say that, you know, our charity and the aid that we give, it's at number one. We are the highest when it comes to giving charity and aid to the world. So here you are giving aid to that country. That's up to you. But which Muslim country besides Maldives? Maldives is that only island that has cut every kind of diplomatic ties with Myanmar. Alhamdulillah. They've cut away all the ties. It was important that the Muslim countries put a lot of pressure and break their diplomatic ties and tell their ambassadors to get out and break ties and to speak out. A lot of the people say, no, no, you see, we should not speak out, but we should do work underground. No, doesn't work that way. You have to speak out for people to know that we are still alive and we will not tolerate this. We will not tolerate. That is why the Nusrat of Allah is not coming. That is why the Madad of Allah is not coming. Everybody is entangled in Hubbud Dunya. Their seat, their position, who they are. Even now, if you look at Saudi Arabia, the most elite ulama have been imprisoned. I was reading an article. Apare nazar. In Saudi Arabia, ulama. And if you speak, you're gone. Nobody knows where you are. This is what was explained by our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These juhala, bichare, instead of looking after the place where you're living in this country, alhamdulillah, Allah give them all iman. Amen. And that we have safety in this country. And we live and we can practice and alhamdulillah, I have this opportunity to sit on the pulpit and talk. This freedom is given to us in this country. In which other country could you speak? If you spoke in Saudi Arabia, you would have gone. You would have gone. But in this country, you can sit on the pulpit and talk. So that is why I said right in the beginning, every kind of terrorism is haram in Islam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-kabair, Major, major sins that Allah does not forgive. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam listed a few. And the first thing he said, Al-ishraku billah, that you do shirk with Allah. What do you do? Shirk with Allah. Now Muharram is coming, you will see one community. Ya Ali Madad, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. What are you doing? What are you doing? This shirk. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one that can save you but Allah. Allah, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem. Al-Ishraku Billah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi. And then number two, Uququl Walidain. He said the most severe guna after shirk with Allah is hurting your parents. What is it? In the Arabic language, Akka Ya'uqqu means to disobey. To disobey your parents. Big, big guna. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. I once had seen a mother slapping the son who was a grandfather. What was he? Grandfather. Talking about in his 50s, 55. And that son took the hands of the mother and started kissing it. Amma, if you are happy slapping me, slap me here also. Amma. This was the respect. This is Islam, the respect that Allah has given to walidain. Today, what respect do we give? That mother tells you just to go to the shop and buy milk. We haven't got time. And then thereafter, what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Al-Kabair, major sins. Qatlu nafsi. To kill someone. To kill someone. That is a major sin. That you just take your car and kill innocent people and drive over them. Allahu Akbar, detonate bombs here and there. And do this. This is not Islam. Muslims are living here. And there is a great majority. In France there are more Muslims than even UK here. There are so many Muslims living in Germany. What are you doing? Is this how we are going to give dawah? Is this what Islam is? And so alhamdulillah, we should be praying, but it is our duty as Muslims. Bhai, jahan kuch karna chahiye, wahan to kuch hota bhi nahi. Where our Muslims are dying and being burnt and chopped up to pieces. And there was this old lady, bichari, Muslima, crying. And she said, I saw this Muslim lady, she was pregnant. And they took a machete and they put that machete in her private part and ripped her chest apart. Imagine that zulm that we are here, we sleep, we talk about it, and that is it. Well, what about that feeling? What about that feeling? What is happening to this ummah? This ummah is in crisis. This ummah is in crisis. Why? Hubbu dunya. Intense, intense love of this dunya. There is no gham, there is no fikr. Everybody is too scared even to speak out the truth. What is haq? What is happening? And so it is our duty, my respected brothers and elders. If we are 70,000-80,000 Muslims in Leicester, 70,000-80,000 letters must have been sent to the foreign minister. He must be inundated with emails and letters. How many people have taken out time? The diplomatic ties are still there around. We'll find a few individuals and mashallah, we send that WhatsApp everywhere. Mashallah, look at this brother, very nice. Eh? Lambi pagri dari, he's doing the works. Arebhai, he's doing his work. What are you doing? What have you done? What have we done? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers. This is the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first thing we need to do is we need to do two things, and the Quran always talks about these two things. One is tawbah, but tawbah is not enough. Allah always uses two words. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَسْلَحُوا. Do tawbah and reform. What is it? Do your own islah. Don't just do tawbah. after Tawbah, become good, turn to good things before the punishment of Allah can come. Don't think that no harm can come to us in this country, my respected brothers. These fools or whatever is happening you see around in the world today, 1, 2, 3, 4 things that would happen and you will see that the condition of this country, the demography of this country, everything can change overnight. Everything can change overnight. Jo hum yahan aaram se baithe hue na, everything can change overnight. And then number two, perhaps this we are doing and we all can do. Please give charity to our Rohingya brothers. And give charity to organizations who are not chores. What are they? I am saying this openly, because whenever there is any kind of an emergency in the world, and when it comes to relief and aid and charity, you will find that there are always going to be individuals who will want to pocket things. So mashallah, you know, give your money to people who are honest and ask them how this money is going to go, who is going to take that money and what will happen of that money, and help our brothers. They are in need. And if you as individuals can go as aid workers and relief workers there, mashallah, to help them, to assist them, then mashallah, this is Noorun ala Noor. So please, mashallah, at this time, if our zakat, our sadaqat, the money that we earn, the least we can do is to support our brothers in Rohingya, in that part of the region. So we will all do that, inshallah. We will do that, inshallah. I think there is also a collection here. We can see there is a box outside, and inshallah, we will also make sure that the money reaches them and the right people take the money. And I'm sure everywhere there are people who are doing collection. And number three, what we need to do, my respected brothers, be active. Be active, do whatever you can do. Do everything that you can do in your capacity. Don't be shy. Oh, what will happen? What will people look at? What? Do it. Maybe that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. MashaAllah, there are already messages that are going and giving us address of the ambassador and embassies and the prime minister and this and that. And, you know, there is also this template that, you know, you can write whatever you need to write to your MP. MashaAllah, don't delay. Don't delay. Please take out time and talk about this. It is our duty. Every masjid should be talking about this. This should be the topic of the time, what is happening in Rohingya. Everywhere, in every city, if you have iman, you will be talking about this. It is our fundamental duty, my respected brothers. This is iman. Otherwise, we will be asked on the day of Qiyamah, what did you do and what have you done for this ummah? We can't just look at what is happening and not do anything. We need to make sure that there is an effort. And the last thing, of course, what we have to do is continuously make dua. What is it? And in Jumu'ah, there is one hour, that if you make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always accept your dua. And so brothers, please, mashallah, we make dua for ourselves. Don't forget our brothers in Burma, the Rakhani Muslims, the Rohingya Muslims, remember them, make dua for them, tell your children to make dua for them, the ladies, mashallah, when they wake up for tahajjud, to please make dua. And who knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept the dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ye jo monks hai, inko tabah aur barbaad kar de. Agar Allah ne unke haq mein iman nahi rakha hai, اور یہ ان کی ملٹری اور جو ملیشہ ہے جو مسلمان کو ذبح کر رہے ان کے گھر کو اللہ نیست و نابود کرے اور اللہ رب العالمین ہماری زندگی میں ہماری آنکھوں کے سامنے ہمیں دکھائے کہ جو حال انہوں نے مسلمان کا کیا ہے اللہ ان کا بھی کرے انشاءاللہ تعالی اللہم دمر دیارہم اللہم شتت شملہم اللہم مزق جمعہم اللہم اہلکہم کما اہلکت قوم عاد و ثمود اللہ رب العالمین جو ہے اس امت کی حفاظت کرے اللہ رب العالمین ہر ایک کی حفاظت کرے دعا کر لے اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب اليك نستغفرك ونتوب اليك یا اللہ یا رحمان یا رحیم یا کریم یا اللہ یا اللہ یہ مجمع بیٹھا ہوا ہے یا اللہ ہم سب کمزور ہیں یا اللہ یا اللہ ہم سب کمزور ہیں، یا اللہ کوئی بھی مجاہد نہیں ہے، یا اللہ مجاہد تو وہ تھے جو ہم نے سنا اور ہم نے پڑھا ہماری تاریخ میں، یا اللہ بڑے بڑے لوگ تھے، یا اللہ مسلمان پر بہت زیادہ ظلم ہو رہا ہے، اللہ تو ہی ان کا محافظ ہے، اللہ تو ہی ان کا محافظ ہے۔ اللہ کریم جو مسلمان لیڈر ہے ان کے دلوں کو کھول دے، یا اللہ ہم سب کو وہن کی بیماری سے تو بچا۔ اللہ وہن کی بیماری اگر ہمارے دل میں ہو اللہ اس بیماری کو تو نکال دے، اللہ ہمیں متقین میں سے بنا دے، خاشعین میں سے بنا دے۔ اللہ ہمارے بھائیوں کو یا اللہ یہ لوگ قتل کر رہے ہیں یا اللہ اور ہم کچھ بھی نہیں کر سکتے، یا اللہ تو ہماری حفاظت فرما۔ اللہ ہم بہت ہی کمزور ہو چکے ہیں، یا اللہ ہم بہت کمزور ہو چکے ہیں، اللہ تیرا پیغام تو یہ ہے کہ ہمیں وہاں ہونا چاہیے تھا یا اللہ، لیکن پھر بھی ہم بہت کمزور ہو گئے، یا اللہ ہماری تو حفاظت فرما، اللہ تو ہمیں معاف فرما دے، اللہ تو ہمیں معاف فرما دے، اللہ تو غیبی مدد فرما۔ اللہ جہاں کہیں مسلمان ہے یا اللہ ان کی تو مدد فرما، سیریا میں، فلسطین میں، شام کا جو علاقہ ہے، عراق میں، روہنگیا مسلمان، ہندوستان کے مسلمان، بنگلہ دیش، پاکستان اور افریقہ کا جو علاقہ ہے، ترکی اور سارے مسلمان ممالک کی تو حفاظت فرما۔ یا اللہ ملیشیا کی تو حفاظت فرما، انڈونیشیا کی تو حفاظت فرما، یا اللہ جتنے بھی ممالک ہیں، حرمین شریفین کی تو حفاظت فرما، یا اللہ حرمین شریفین کی تو حفاظت فرما، یا اللہ مسجد اقصی کی یا اللہ تو حفاظت فرما، یا اللہ ہمارے ایمان کی تو حفاظت فرما، یا اللہ یا رحمان یا رحیم، یا اللہ اس ملک کی بھی تو حفاظت فرما، یا اللہ اور تیری حفاظت ایسی ہو یا اللہ کہ ان کے دل کو تو کھول دے اور یہ سارے کے سارے لوگ کلمے والے بن جائے، یا اللہ ایمان والے بن جائے۔ اللہ ہمیں اس ملک میں امن دے، یوروپ میں امن دے، یا اللہ مسلمان کو شان دے، عزت دے، یا اللہ مسلمان کی تو حفاظت فرما، جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا دے، یا اللہ جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا دے۔ نستغفرك ونتوب اليك، سمعنا واطعنا، غفرانك ربنا واليك المصير، برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين۔